Is the strait open now? No, the strait is closed again. 15 ships got through and the strait got closed again. I thought they said no more closing the toll. Who could have stopped that? It is crazy that, you know, on this broadcast, also on Lemonade Stand, also everybody in the world has basically said, like, hey, Israel is going to bomb Lebanon to stop this peace deal from happening. And everyone's like, yeah, they're going to do that. And then they did that. And then the peace deal got stopped. It's like, okay, what the fuck can anyone do at this point? It's crazy. You literally have J.D. Vance and Donald Trump, people who have been the most pro-Israel in all of America, who are going out on public and saying, Vance's speech was crazy. Like, you've never seen that from an American leader, especially a Republican one. J.D. Vance came out and said, if I was in the Israeli government and I only had one ally left in the whole world, I certainly wouldn't fuck up their peace deal. That's crazy. I mean, it's true. Honestly, J.D. Vance, everything he's saying in that statement is 100% true. Do you think J.D. will take the fall? I think that is the reason J.D. Vance is being so zesty about this. J.D. Vance is saying shit he probably wouldn't be encouraged to say because J.D. Vance knows he is the fall guy for this. He has been given these impossible negotiations and he is set up to be the fall guy. He's the ghost, bro. Can we watch the statement? Sure, we can watch the statement.
There's a report in Axios that Netanyahu's fuming over this. Israel doesn't feel bound to the MOU as it relates to Lebanon. If, as you mentioned, your frustration with Israel striking in Beirut, hitting apartment buildings, if that continues, could it torpedo the deal? And what would the U.S.'s response be to a broader war in Lebanon?
Yeah, well, I don't want to get into hypotheticals that could torpedo the deal because I think the president's expectation is that...
By the way, it was a hypothetical when this speech was given. It's a literal now. It happened and it did torpedo the deal. It happened like hours after this. I mean, not even like... It was immediately afterwards.
All of our friends, the Israelis, the Arabs in the region, we're going to work together and actually see this deal to completion. Now, I saw the Axios report, Netanyahu is fuming. That's not reflective of the conversations that I've had with him, but maybe he's saying something to somebody else that he's not saying to me. What I will say, and this
a little bit stuttery, I do like the idea that that's not the BB I know. Oh, sweet BB. The BB I know. He just simply wouldn't fume over an Iran war deal. He would love peace with Iran. Not BB, dude.
Is that you've seen people within BB's cabinet who have come out and attacked the deal and in some ways very personally attacked the president of the United States. And I guess my message to them would be twofold. Number one, Donald J. Trump is the only head of state in the entire world who is sympathetic to the nation of Israel at this moment.
Dude, he's right. First of all, that's true. That's true. They've burned every bridge. And so the fact that they are attacking Trump in Israel is like, bro, you don't have a lot of friends left.
Time. If I was in the cabinet of the Israeli government, I might not be attacking the only powerful ally that I have anywhere left in the entire world. And the second message I would give to some of those cabinet members, BB, to his credit.
Dude, you guys thought I was exaggerating. You thought I was like reframing it. That's literally what he said. I was not exaggerating. He literally was like, dude, if I was in your shoes, I wouldn't. That's crazy.
But to some of these cabinet members in Israel who are attacking the president of the United States, the other thing that I would say is that over the last 3 months, 2/3 of the defensive weapons that have protected your homeland have been built by American hands and paid for by American tax dollars. The problem for Israel is not Donald J. Trump. And anybody in Israel who thinks their biggest problem is the president of the United States needs to wake up and smell the reality of the situation that country is in. Thank you all.
Yeah, I mean, he's correct. He is correct. I don't know if he needed all that eyeliner to say it, but he's correct. It's wild what they're openly doing to torpedo this peace deal at any cost. It helped get the sass across. And obviously, there's a reason he's sassy. Like I said, Vance is being set up as the fall guy. Trump has openly said it. I think Trump said it as a joke, but when he says something jokingly, he's always being serious. He just lets it out. But there's a clip where Trump's like, yeah, I think if it goes wrong, we'll blame JD. And then he laughs. But like, that's the plan. Their plan is to, because he's the one in charge of the negotiation. He was given the impossible task. So we'll see how that plays out. Did you see the interview where he said they can't kill their way out of every situation? I don't know if I saw that one, but yeah, that's at least Netanyahu's plan, has been trying to do a pure military solution, and it's just run up against the wall of geography and drones. And rather than admit that it's been a total failure, he is trying to run not only his own country, but America's into the ground to keep this thing going forever and ever and ever. Afghanistan 2.0. Honestly, legitimately, it's insane. The war was insane, and I blame that on Trump because he's the one that said yes to the dumb PowerPoint. But at this point, he is trying to do anything to get out of it, including throwing money at Iran. And there's only one person trying to keep it going, and that's Netanyahu. Didn't Trump say something to the effect of, if it works, I'll take credit. If not, I'll blame JD. That's exactly what he said. That's exactly what he said. And he gave a chuckle at the end, so you know it's a joke, but it's like, that is what you'll do. It's exactly what you'll do. I feel like any future deals will be more worse than this most recent one. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to go back and say, let's do the same deal. I don't know. This is like an actual question. If we hypothetically bombed Israel with a rim, what would happen? Okay, that's insane. That's an insane question. Israel's nuclear armed. We're not going to go bomb. We're not going to switch sides mid-war. Never let your enemy know your next move. That's the dumbest idea I've heard. But the only way forward, if they truly want to get out of Iran, which it seems like Trump does, is they're going to have to like publicly split from Israel so that when they bomb Lebanon, because right now Iran sees it as the same thing. America and Israel, if one of them attacks, they sees them as one unit. And they're like, well, then the peace deal's off. So, yeah, I don't know. They're going to have to split to like even begin to negotiate or at least get out of it. By the way, last thing I'll say on this, because I want to talk about Russia. So when the peace deal was announced and Trump made a big deal of it, it's finally here. The peace deal is here. Now that it's blown up, he admitted a lot of things he should not have admitted. Number one, he admitted we are 4 weeks from tank bottom. We're almost out of oil reserves. He said that openly. He's like, thank God we got this deal because we're almost out of oil reserves. So you're like the worst negotiator of all time, because now that the deal's blown up, it's like, well, now they know. Now they know if they just wait 4 fucking weeks, your negotiating position gets way, way worse. It's truly not the art of the deal. It's truly insanely stupid. And then he said another thing. He said, we're on the verge of economic bedlam. I don't know. Trump knew the word bedlam. Kind of +2 for Trump for knowing the deep cut vocabulary, but he's just openly admitting. It's crazy when the deal is not yet signed to be like, dude, thank God we're signing this deal because I am fucked. Yo, I am so appreciative you guys are signing this because I'll be honest with you, I'm out of cards. It's crazy. God, he's such a bad fucking president, bro. What is Netanyahu trying to accomplish by isolating Israel going to war with the Middle East? Let's see what he stands to gain. What he stands to gain is, they think this is their last shot to get rid of their biggest geopolitical rival, Iran, in the Middle East. They think if they don't do it now, it'll never happen. They needed regime change. Additionally, within Israel, I think his unpopularity is overstated, but certainly a colossal failure here is kind of like the end of his term running Israel. And he is facing like prison time and like corruption charges. And like, he needs to be a wartime president ongoing. So there's a lot of like personal reasons for him. And certainly it is like his great idea and legacy is like, we're going to eliminate Iran. And that was the plan for Israel. And it's become a colossal failure. What's crazy is if you flash back to just before the war started, they've never been in a better position. All of Iran's proxies have been destroyed or defunded. Iran was in the worst position they've ever been. They were having mass revolt and protest, surging inflation. The regime had never been weaker. They had like a super old, decrepit Ayatollah. And then they forced the issue with this horrendously stupid war. And instead it gave the Iranian regime a ton of power. Like literally, Netanyahu is the best thing to happen to the Iranian regime, which is crazy when you think about it. Yeah, it's just crazy. So many countries get one guide by dumb 70-year-old leaders, warmongering leaders. Putin, same thing in Russia, which we'll talk about. The whole situation feels like a boomer's like, fuck you. No, the last one will be, because look, we've got Trump, 79, 80 years old, invading Iran. We got how old is Netanyahu? 76. We got Netanyahu, warmongering 76. We have Putin, also 79, warmongering Ukraine. Final one is going to be Xi Jinping in Taiwan. He's also that old. And we're going to have all the fucking boomers of the world just cause chaos and war before they go out. That's the fucking plan, bro. Just the boomers' last hurrah. Just get 40 years of good times and then blow it all up on the way out the door. Do you think we will split from Israel? Maybe. I mean, I don't know. Maybe. Certainly, on some level, yes. But on some level, the nuclear-armed intelligence ally in the Middle East, it's like every major nation has a little bro in the Middle East. Russia had Syria, China has Iran, America has Israel. They just have them because you have to have a presence in the Middle East or you get choked off from supply lines. But that's almost changing with drones now. It's like you can't even protect power. There might be a public split, but I don't know. I don't know how it'll go. But the point is, it's supposed to be the dog wagging the tail and the other way around. Like, the idea was it was America's strategic interest to have military protective power around the oil. But now it's in Israel's interest to drag America into a 20-year war to get rid of their biggest rival, Iran. And that's not... They have to recognize that and get out. U.S. has Saudi now? Honestly, yeah. But I still blame Trump. I blame Trump more than any individual for this fucking war. Every other president got the same pitch and they said no, and he said yes. And he got the same warnings from the CIA that it'd be stupid. He got the same warnings from the Pentagon that it'd be stupid. At the end of the day, it's his fucking arrogance and idiocy, bro. He's the reason we're in this war. It was so obvious. He received, his generals told him it wouldn't work. I mean, I blame Squeaks too. I blame Trump and I blame Squeaks a little bit more, but but like barely. Like, it's almost neck and neck. Do you know what I'm saying? I'd put Squeaks ahead. Yeah, you're right. I'd probably Squeaks a little bit ahead, but you get the general gist. If Trump tries to draw red lines and retaliate to Israel, punch Israel, well, it's just like he doesn't have as much. People overestimate. I'm not kind of trying to rain on your parade here. People overestimate how much leverage America truly has in the short term over Israel. In terms of, like, everyone's like, pull away their funding. You can pull away their funding, absolutely. But if you actually look at the amount of funding that America gives Israel, first of all, it's pretty small by American budget standards. And secondly, 80% of it actually just goes back to American military contractors. It's actually mostly a jobs program for Raytheon and fucking, like, people think the biggest, most powerful lobbies in America is AIPAC. It's not even close. It's healthcare and military. Healthcare and military are the biggest lobbies. They are a million times stronger. They are the ones that control politicians, and that's where the money goes. So most of the money that goes to Israel is actually round-tripped right back to fucking Northrop Grumman and Raytheon and fucking... And all that money is not that much. It's not that much. It literally, if you have a $1 trillion military budget, it's like fucking 3 to 20 billion somewhere in that. It's nothing. So that's just part of it. Like, you cut all that money, Israel would not change. They wouldn't change the amount of money they're spending on their military. They would cut back maybe some social services. And then America would lose the unsinkable aircraft carrier they have with Israel. That's why they don't do it strategically. They should do it just because it's a fucking PR nightmare. They dragged us into a horrible war. Like, they should just cut ties. But that's why they're like, they're trying to keep some lot of leverage over this partner. The thing is, I think there was a worry before that if America split from Israel, Israel would go to China. But that has sort of been burned. Israel's burned every partner except for America. And now they're burning America. So America has more leverage, actually. Like, what J.D. Vance is saying is true. They have a lot more leverage because it's like, you have nowhere else to go. Why would Israel join China? They wouldn't join China, like become Chinese. It was that Israel trades a lot with China. They are trading partners. And it's not like they would just, they could trade their intelligence and Middle Eastern leverage. Listen, China doesn't care about Iran. They're just partners with Iran because they want influence over Hormuz so they can make sure the oil flows. China does not care about any country in the Middle East outside of its trading partners to make sure the oil flows to their country. So they would partner, I mean, in a different time. I don't know if they'd do it now, but they would have partnered with Israel.